Then it goes on to say, then the Lord, let's see, verse 28. But, now here it comes. Now we got a contrast. But, the Lord of that servant was moved. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord of that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. You know how much a pence was? Approximately 64 cents. 100 of them is 64 bucks. He found somebody, one of his fellow servants, owed him 64 bucks, and it says he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He grabbed him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. The word sorry, he means they were greatly distressed. They could not believe it. Could you believe this? Here he just got forgiven of a debt he couldn't possibly pay in 100 lifetimes. He got forgiven that his children and everything wasn't so. All that forgiveness he received, then he turns right around and he can't be compassionate this much, 64 bucks worth. And he grabs the guy by the throat, even gets violent about it. Isn't that something? Well, it distressed them. They couldn't believe it. And they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. And when the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Wicked here means causing sorrow, pain. It's being evil and vicious. Malignant is another definition. You malignant servant. I forgave you all that debt because thou desirest of me. And then his Lord was wrought, delivered him in, so he went to jail. I mean, that was the end of it. But the great parable here is the great truth of here you have God is so compassionate and forgiving to us. Where is our compassion and forgiveness to others? That's the great truth here. The great lesson. That's why, you know, I mean, I've had people drop the drawers and crap all over me, you know, but you can't hang on to that stuff. You just wash it off and move ahead. Because you know something? You win. You win. If you can walk with a forgiving heart, you'll win because you always have that compassionate soul to reach out and help. You'll be able to do the will of God. And when you do the will of God, you get blessed of God, both now and for eternity. So the man had, he didn't have a forgiving soul. Then Luke 15, which is it's that great record of the, it's called the parable of the, what? What's what they call it? Prodigal son, don't they? But it's really the forgiving father, because the father forgave him. And I don't know that we'll read all this. We're pretty familiar with the record. Son blew all the money and he came to himself and said, I'm going home because at least I'll get fed even if I'm a servant. And he got his script together of what he was going to tell his father. And he heads home and the father's looking for him all along. That's the great truth. God is always looking for us to call on him, to come home to him. And he is, it said the father was full of compassion and greeted him and bent over him and kissed him. And he brought out the fatted calf and the robe and reinstated him as a son when he was just willing to be a servant. He didn't even get his script read and it all changed. And then in that same record, his brother would not come in. His brother was upset. Instead of his brother rejoicing with his father that his brother had come to himself and came home, he was mad. He felt like, this ain't fair. Well, what's not fair about it? I mean, if you got the compassion of God in your soul, you ought to rejoice and be glad. That's why this thing of, remember, every born-again son of God has the same stature. They're just as important as the one that got born again the next hour from now has got just as much as the one that's been born again for 50 years. Now, 50 years ago, I said, well, that's not fair. I mean, I did all this stuff and he did all that. Now he gets, oh, wait a minute. You've had 50 years living with God. You've had 50 years of His blessing that He didn't have. You got yours. And that's what the Father said. Hey, you've had it all along. What's your complaint? But again, in this record, you have the great issue of how forgiveness is so important. And we've had to forgive big, right? Most of us in this ministry were hurt deeply. But see, we got to forgive and move. And I know it's hard because there's always something that seems to get thrown up in your face. But it's the compassion of God will move you to forgive and move ahead. That's the great truth. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ, and that's this ministry too. At the center of compassion is forgiveness. Look in 2 Corinthians. We want to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We quote this verse so many times. This one you're very familiar with. Verse 11 says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we use that verse which way and every way, right? But anybody ever read the context of what that verse is in? It's forgiveness. You know, verse 5, it says, let me read it from the New International Bible. You can read it and just listen. It says, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved you all to some extent. Not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. You know, a guy had blown it and he said, okay, you confronted him on it, but don't keep railing on the guy. Don't put it too heavy. I think it talks in King James about him being swallowed up in sorrow. And that swallow means to go down like a swallow. When you swallow, it's down, isn't it? And that's what can happen to people. So now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you to, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. The thing he was talking about was being forgiving. You know, anybody can go out and confront somebody, you know, and scream at him and tell him, but are you compassionate with it? Do you follow up? Are you forgiving? If you forgive anyone, I also forgave him. And what I have forgiven, it therefore was forgiven. If there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unawares of his schemes. And his greatest scheme is to divide up the body, divide up the family, brother against brother. Divide them up and keep that unforgiving state intact. Isn't that something? Now, whether your brother forgives you or not, that's his problem. He didn't say anything. He said, you do it. Right? You forgive in your heart. And let them worry about their thing. If they want to hang on to it, then they're the ones who won't be blessed. God will bless you. And he will give you that compassionate heart. And he will honor you. And Satan won't get advantage of you. Because he'll take you into a lot of territories. But the whole context of that verse that everybody wants to quote is nothing but forgiveness. That's the one great trick of the adversary. Keep you in a state of unforgiveness. Matthew, you know, it's that unforgiveness that really destroys families, marriages, fellowships, ministries, you name it. That's what does it. Look at Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm glad we're getting this stuff on a good tape. Doing a good job back there, Smitty. At least I hope so. We'll play it back and find out. Can't breathe too hard on this mic. It'll jump at you. Here it is. Look in verse 35 of chapter 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And there you have it again. Where is Jesus Christ? He is among the people. We can't sit in our houses, sit in our sealed houses, as it talks about in Haggai, while God's work sits there and awaits. So you got to get out among the people. You ever get out among them? Sure you do. But just open your spiritual eyes. Get those eyes of compassion about it and see what you can see. And do the work of God. Because that's what he did. He was out among the people. That's where he healed them. In verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into the harvest. Compassion is to have understanding and concern of others, their thoughts, you know, their hearts, their feelings. Compassion and understanding about the things that they've gone through. A lot of times, you know, sadly say it's like that, but we don't really fully understand. I guess maybe you can in some aspects. What it is until you've been through it, right? If you've lost somebody, a loved one close to you, you understand when somebody else loses somebody close to you, don't you? When you've seen somebody really get hurt in other ways, if you've been there, you understand, don't you? Well, we ought to be the most understanding people, because the adversary has worked us over at times. We've been there, done that a few times. But that's it. Well, we got to put ourselves in other people's shoes. You know, even if you don't understand, you understand enough if you got the heart of God, even if you've not been there. You can at least kind of put yourself in their shoes a little bit in your mind and say, oh, my, you know, if that were me, this is what, you know, I'd be going through. And it'll help you. We must walk with the compassion of Jesus Christ and help others. You know, others need the Word of God just like we did and still do.